Welcome to the next episode of Ordinary Christians. I'm here with Ron and Derek, and I'm Bob, and we're excited to talk about this topic. It's going to be very unique. The song goes, it's beginning to look a lot like COVID Christmas. I think they're going to have to change the words.
Wait. I'm going to harmonize with you.
Are you? We'll do it over. No, we won't do it over. It'll be unordinary.
That's right.
You'd be revealing how extraordinary you both are.
Yeah, right.
Your ability to harmonize.
That's my first time singing on podcast. Now, the topic we want to talk about is, this is going to be 2020, possibly the most bizarre, unusual, and unique Christmas season ever because of COVID. And we are going to try to process out loud on this podcast, like, how, as ordinary Christians, should we face this unusual Christmas season? Everything probably is going to be different. You guys, just give me some opening thoughts. What do you think is going to be unusual about this Christmas season?
Well, I think things are getting worse. And so I think there's going to be more pressure to quarantine and isolate at home and not mixed family units or pods, as Governor Pritzker called us. Little pods.
So Is that real?
Yeah, that felt so warm and fuzzy.
Oh my goodness.
We could go off track here and I could talk about Indiana, but I won't do that because we're a lot better off right now.
I think that the challenge is that, you know, there can be an exacerbation of family conflicts around the holidays in general. You know, as people get together and sometimes conflict just develops and arises as somebody says something. It may be particularly challenging because we're going to be in the shadow of a very contentious election, and who knows how substantial the conflict will be as a result of the election, or if results are challenged, or if there is a great deal of acrimony within the political system as a result of that. But not only will that be the case, but our political differences have in many instances exacerbated the differences of people in relation to approach to the coronavirus. And so it may be that some people refuse to come to an extended family gathering because they don't feel comfortable being around an extended group of people. It may be that offends another person in the family and that tensions are inflamed as a result of that. And so I think that in ordinary times, ordinary Christians have to deal with this sort of conflict that can result from being with one's extended family. I think that conflict will be increased. It will be turned up to 11 with the restrictions related to COVID and with some of the opposition to or embrace of those restrictions on the part of other people. So that's my take. It's a gloomy take. I'm going to be honest with you guys about that. COVID take.
Towards the end, we're going to give advice on how you should handle it as an ordinary Christian. But I mean, let's keep talking about, like, what are the possibilities? Possibilities that Thanksgiving dinner, there are going to be families calling, like, hey, mom, dad, we're not coming. Why not? Did somebody have COVID? No, we just don't feel comfortable. And that is going to throw off grandma and grandpa. Mom and dad, that's going to be what are you, crazy? You're hyped up. There's going to be the possibility that some people will say, our entire family's sick. Yeah, I mean, this is a reality that, I mean, I don't know exactly what Illinois, but I know that the recommendation nationally, they're saying not to have Thanksgiving dinners of more than 8 to 10 people. I mean, that changes a lot of homes. Even for Faith Church, we had a run we've done for 20 years. The Gobbler Classic, and it's gone virtual. It's affected. What about you? What did you say, Ron?
I was going to say, I think two things simultaneously. One is I think we just have to be gracious with people because, you know, I interact with tons of people, and I am amazed the vast differences in which people interact with COVID. And they seem to be good people who love the Lord and who seem rational. And they are making judgments based upon the information given to them. And I think we need to be gracious. If someone feels uncomfortable gathering or, you know, feels comfortable gathering or wherever they are at in the spectrum, that we shouldn't make it a place to fight. It just seems silly to me. And we don't want to be responsible for someone getting sick. The second thing is, though I understand the recommendation and I think everyone should, you know, I don't think this is a moral issue. I think we should follow our conscience. I think there's good reason to consider at least to have small gatherings with our family of different homes, because there are competing values here. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, we have been locked down since March. I mean, the world has been vastly different. Yes. How long? It's going to be another year at least until there is some sense of normalcy. And I just don't know if it's wise, in light of all the mental illness going on, suicide rates going up, to say just cross the line, do not gather because it's dangerous. Well, there are other things that are dangerous too. And so I think reasonable people could say, you know what, we're going to gather because, not because COVID isn't dangerous, because it is dangerous. And it's just silly to think otherwise. But because in light of our values, we have other values that are important. Make sure that our family members and friends feel loved.
And, I think that is so important. And I think that's one of the things that like an ordinary Christian can bring to any discussion, is not only a broadness of soul, right? A willing to bear with people, a desire to make peace, but also a desire to bring a multivariable analysis to all of this. I mean, so often the discussion is just COVID. And I think that what you've said here is really helpful, Ron, in that like, yeah, COVID is an issue. It's a deadly virus and we need to be aware of it. There are other deadly things that can result if we are doctrinaire about our response to it, if we don't interact with people and people deal with mental health issues. And, you know, I think that it's important for us to recognize that as Christians, we need to respect authority and understand that that how science works and respect all of that, right? And also understand that it might be right for the reduction of COVID in naked terms to make sure that you're not interacting with anybody outside of your immediate family. But then all of a sudden there's a situation where maybe there's this young guy in your congregation who's a little awkward and he's been trying to break into the family of the church. He just moved into the area. He's got a job that's all online. He doesn't get to interact with anybody. And he's really becoming very depressed through not interacting with any people and through being so isolated.
Ooh,
you realize,
good.
Oh my goodness, I've got to, I should maybe invite that person to my Thanksgiving meal also.
Oh, I like that, Derek. Because ordinary Christians, do you hear what Derek just said? He said the scriptures, that we need to welcome the stranger and the alien, the widow, the poor, the broken, the hurting. And there may be a single person that is looking at this Thanksgiving, Christmas, saying, hey, you can't come home to your grandparents or anything. We need to be the people of hospitality. Mm-hmm. I think we need to use our brains. I really do. I mean, I won't be able to quote John Calvin verbatim, but one of them, you'll take the spirit of it. One of the things that Calvin taught me when I was reading all of an intense series, season of my life, I read a lot of Calvin books. One of the things he said is use your brain. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, people like, okay, obviously we got the word of God, we got the Holy Spirit, but he also gave us a brain to think. And the truth is, think Christian, be ordinary Christian who thinks and go, okay, if you were exposed directly, you should not be going to Thanksgiving dinner at grandma's house. Use your brain. Mass coming in, you may need to think about, you may need to quarantine, but I think we need to think through the scriptures, like what is the scriptures call to be kind? And again, think about you guys, what are some scriptures that relate to this COVID Christmas season?
You know what I think about is it right to do good on the Sabbath when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he talks about the lamb that fell in a well? And of course it's good to, you know, it's right to do good. And so I don't think we should be cavalier, but that's really the point of Martin Luther's letter to the pastor during the plague, is that if there's good that needs to be done, and no one else can do it, then we're obligated to do it.
Good.
And for that, that goes beyond earthly law. That is a higher obligation.
That's right. I think that is what I think that what you're saying is exactly right. And one of the things that Christians have always understood is that we need to respect those who are in authority over us. And that means the governing authorities. And so that means that as far as one can, one should submit themselves to the governing authorities, except when it would mean that you would have to contradict the will of God. And so it's important for us to not, to not be cavalier in the way that we apply that, right? Like, well, God really wants for me to be able to like dine in a restaurant that's filled with people and feel comfortable without a mask. And so that's what I want to do. It's not like that sort of thing, right? But if God is saying that we need to welcome the stranger and the widow and the alien. And so if we're like, the restrictions would say, no, don't do that. It's like, you know what? We've still got to do that.
I think ordinary Christians should worship throughout the season. Now, that being said, use your head. For example, I've met with several families that have done weddings since COVID came in. And one of my good friends had a daughter getting married. He and his wife decided for 2 to 3 weeks prior to the wedding that they were going to quarantine because they didn't want to expose a bunch of people at the wedding and the outdoor reception to COVID. They were using their heads. I have a sneaking suspicion that that's what we're going to see at Thanksgiving services and Christmas services. We're going to see people saying, I'm not going to go to the in-person church because I don't want to get COVID for Christmas Day. I don't want to be sick. And I'm going to say, you know what? That may be their choice, but I'm going to say still worship. Engage in online worship then. Have watch parties and say, we're unsettled and going as it gets near Christmas, middle of December. We're not going to go in person. I mean, I may not agree with that completely. I think whenever possible to worship with the body of Christ, but I understand it. But then at least worship. Don't become a lazy Christian and just blow it off. Engage in the worship online. Does that make sense? But I think that's the kind of practical thing we need to think through. Honestly, I don't. Have you guys done much prep in terms of like Thanksgiving or Christmas? I mean, we usually have 2 in-person Thanksgiving services on Thanksgiving Eve. This year, we're going to have 1 in-person at 5, and then we're going to encourage everyone to worship online at 7 because we understand some people don't want to come Thanksgiving and potentially be exposed. How about you guys? Have you thought through any of the ordinary Christian preparation for the holidays?
We have, and this is one of, there are so many principles that are at play for us. So like one of the things that I'm really going to miss is that usually at Orland Park CRC, we have an absolutely packed Thanksgiving Day service, like a 10 a.m. Thanksgiving morning service, sanctuary totally packed, seats set up all throughout the fellowship hall, people sitting all the way to like sometimes the back doors, just filled with folks. And so as we talked about how we were going to do this now, we were like, all right, well, we can kind of safely seat 150 within our sanctuary, which is, you know, a quarter of what or less of what we would normally have on Thanksgiving Day. So how do we get people into the church service? Do we multiply services? And we realize that really nobody wanted to come other than that 10 o'clock time. And so we made a tough decision, and that is that we're going to be filming it, trying to have really high quality filming of this, but just do a live stream service for Thanksgiving morning at 10 o'clock and encourage everyone in the congregation to engage in their homes in that sort of way so that everyone can participate at the same time. We're going to do the same thing with Christmas morning services because it's often the same sort of situation, but we're still going to do a Christmas Eve service. But in order to incorporate everyone, we're going to do like a drive-in service in the parking lot that's going to conclude with everyone getting out of their cars and coming and lighting candles and singing Christmas carols outside, you know, distance from each other, but still holding the light and passing the light to each other.
That's cool. And
so that's the way that we're planning to try to incorporate some of the aspects of worship in a way that the whole congregation can engage to try to, again, pursue unity and peace with all of this and still maintain some of the traditions of our traditions of worship that the church is engaged in
for our
life.
That's so good. It's so practical. Our Behold the Wonder, which has become a fascinating early December event, we've literally gone completely viral with it. And I think it's going to have a unique impact because you have to sign up and get a passcode and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be great. I think bottom line, as ordinary Christians, we need to think creatively about Thanksgiving and Christmas. I think even in terms of, could it be that this Christmas season or the holiday season from Thanksgiving to Christmas could be potentially become better because it's been simplified. Families together, friends together, just intimately thinking about what we're thankful for at Thanksgiving and the simple phenomenon of a baby born in Bethlehem who is the Savior of the world.
You know, it reminds me of, I was working at Faith Church in 2008 during the kind of the economic crisis. And, you know, everyone was freaked out and, you know, we were freaked out. People were freaked out with their jobs and we didn't know what the bottom was. And it was just such a simple Christmas. And I remember it was about when, if we were going to buy gifts, maybe make it a gift of buying a goat for a kid in Africa through World Vision. And I think there is such beauty right now with all the chaos and the unsettledness and the strain and the disease to gather like Christians have done, whether you can in person or not, or as a family or not, and to celebrate the child is still born. He's still the king. He's still the peacemaker. We are his inheritance. And there's so much to celebrate this Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we get back to the essence of it and the beauty of it and the worship of it, of Jesus in it.
Yeah, I think let's try to move towards the closing thoughts. Like what is something very ordinary, what ordinary Christian needs to hear? And I'll start by just saying this. I think maybe the goal during the holiday season for Christians should be simplicity this year. And out of that simplicity may come this beautiful, profound experience of thanking the Lord at Thanksgiving and celebrating the birth of Jesus. How about you guys?
My thought is that the gathered body is sacred and special. And whether it is through yearning because you cannot gather or through intentionality to gather, make gathering a centering point of your life through the holidays so that either through ache or through celebration, you realize how special it is to live in this country where gathering there are no barriers to it, not even in a pandemic. And so don't make that something important in your life.
Derek?
I think that, if you can't gather in person, I think one of the things that would be pretty cool to see is, why not start a new tradition, right? Why not wake up Sunday morning and have Dad read the Christmas story to the family? And a lot of times you're going to go, you may have gone to church to hear it. It may be that you can't in the same way. So why don't you start by like, Dads, why don't you get up and wake the family up and say, what we're going to do is we're going to hear about when Jesus was born. So let me read to you from the Gospel of Luke. And you're going to hear about when God became man.
Mm. That's awesome.
Well, I thought you were talking about the when Santa came to the house and woke up the guy.
Hey, don't spill
that Christmas story.
Don't spill the beans.
Yes, let's do it.
Don't spill the beans.
So be men.
I will conclude with, have a holly jolly COVID Christmas. It's the best time of the year. All right, guys. Hey, thank you, folks, ordinary Christians who listen. And God bless you in this holiday season. Derek, you want to say something before we close?
Yeah, I do. I just want to tell everyone to look out for our spinoff, Ordinary Christians Bob Sings podcast, which is...
That's coming to a household near you soon. It's
going to be amazing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, God bless everybody. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we'll be back before then, but be prepared. God bless.